Hi everyone, it's Lydia, and thanks for joining me for another episode of the One Woman's Opinion podcast. Now, if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know that I did have this recorded already, and while I was trying to edit it, I somehow deleted the entire episode, so I had to take a step back because I was kind of angry at myself for doing that. But before we get into today's episode, with this episode and all future episodes, I will say the following. Please note, I am not a therapist or a doctor. I am simply a very opinionated woman. And if you're experiencing any mental health concerns, please reach out to a professional. Or if you feel that you are in danger, please call 911 or your local emergency services for immediate assistance. Now, this is going to be sort of like a part two to my last episode on coercive control and gaslighting. I know that last episode has both those names in the title, but I went back to listen to it, and I kind of, even though I said that they go hand in hand, coercive control and gaslighting go hand in hand, I kind of just jumped on the gaslighting train and went on a tangent about that, and I really didn't say too much about coercive control. If you haven't listened to that last episode, it's fine. You can continue to listen to this, or you can pause this and go back and listen to that. Either way, it is going to be different information. So as long as you listen to both, I still want to get the message out there about these things. So they're very important to listen to. For this episode, again, I want to talk about coercive control separately. And yes, some things may sound familiar to the gaslighting process, but there are some differences, and they're subtle. Coercive control describes someone that needs total emotional control over their partner, and it's usually gained, again, through subtle methods. It can be very hard, very difficult to tell when a relationship has turned abusive. There's so many ways for this person to be toxic. They can go from being the nicest person in the world and to constantly arguing about nothing. And if the relationship tends to sour and the abused person pulls themselves out of it, they may be subjected to stalking, which is very scary. And, you know, at one point in my life, I was stalked for a little while, so I'll get into that at another time. But it's just so many different ways that it's so subtle that it can make coercive control difficult to spot. And I don't want to make you paranoid with my opinions. I just want to give some knowledge of what it is, so that people can have their eyes open and not have their partners pulling one over on them. Now, coercive control in a relationship is not necessarily about the factors that are being controlled. So, for example, it's not about the money, the social interactions, roles in the household, individual pursuits like work or school. It's not about those things individually or even as a whole, but it's about the mere action of being able to control them. Because coercion is an emotional power move. The person using the coercion themselves they lack communication skills. They're unable to get their emotions out in a healthy manner. Forget about compromise. You can't compromise with someone like that. And they can't handle not getting their own way. So it kind of reminds me of like a toddler having a temper tantrum. But in most cases, these are adults, because it does happen in teenage relationships. But in most cases, in my opinion, it's adults. And it's not like a toddler having a temper tantrum, because these adults can become violent and deadly if pushed too far. There's one misconception about coercive control that I also made this misconception, in my opinions, is that some people think that it's always aggressive, that they come off aggressive right away. And as I said before, they can be the nicest person, so they may not always be aggressive. Then again, they may flip-flop from being nice to being aggressive and have the person that they're abusing be completely confused. But sometimes this person, this abuser, can begin to control their partner through a method of dependency. So instead of them coming off aggressive and being a complete a-hole, or demanding control, they come off as very dependent. They act as if they're incapable of doing anything for themselves. They will have their partner solve all their problems, no matter how small, and they'll rely on the other person to the point where they just rely on them to practically conduct their lives. They see this other person as someone that's there to take care of them, their every need, and only them, and only their every need. So think about it. This person seems extremely helpless, like, oh, my baby, they don't know what they're doing. They need my help with everything. So they seem so helpless that it's impossible for you to think that they could even be dominant or domineering or trying to take control. But this is the process, and it makes it extremely difficult to spot how toxic the situation, how toxic the relationship really is. But we always have to remember the end game, their end game and main goal is to have complete control. With coercive control, of course, one partner always has more power than the other, too much power. And how I mentioned a few minutes ago that they'll be completely helpless, and you know, the abused person will want to help so much, they'll have access to their money, they'll have access just to their whole life because they're so helpless, they can't do anything. But little by little, and I'm still not sure how this happens because I cannot wrap my head around this, as I've said in the past episode, the abuser will eventually actively control their partner's money, time, friends. They'll control whether or not they go to work, whether or not they go to school. And then now at this point, they go from being helpless to demanding control. So it's kind of like, I can't even explain what it's like because I can't imagine going through it. But they'll do it in a form that is like tricking you into thinking that all of this is a good idea. They'll just claim to be more knowledgeable of things all of a sudden, because remember, a few minutes ago, they didn't know how to do anything for themselves. You did it all. So now they're claiming to be more knowledgeable and they have your best interests at heart. And that's how they'll explain their behavior away, because they're just trying to help. But in reality, they're taking your independence away. They may say things like, oh, your friends and family aren't good enough for you. They don't deserve you. They don't deserve you in their lives because they don't appreciate you. They'll keep drilling these things into the partner's head until it's to the point where they're like, well, you should just stop hanging out with them, or you should stop talking to them altogether. And as I stated, they will have control of your finances because you're not good with money. You're just not good with money. I'm going to have to take over and I'll give you an allowance. And again, you'll look at this like, wow, this is a great idea. But, you know, some people out there might think, yeah, right, this doesn't happen. This is why I stressed in the last episode, and I'll stress it again this episode, I'm only giving some little bit of knowledge because it's filled with a lot of my opinions. So I'm giving you a little bit of knowledge, and I really, really hope that people would do their own research and educate themselves on this, because yes, it does happen. And all these schemes and all these ways that they can begin to control your life, it's all to limit your autonomy. meaning your independence, your individualism, the ability for you to self-govern and just give them complete control. It's just, like I said, it does sound like gaslighting, but if you heard the last episode, you'll be able to spot some of the differences, because like I said, this isn't about the actual things that are being controlled. It's just a mere thought of being in control, basically, that they get off on. The person that is trying to apply coercive control is often trying to make you believe that your world is so terrible. Oh my God, your world is so terrible, and it's going to fall apart unless they have total control of it. They'll project everything in a negative light. It could be anything, and they'll just find a way to project it in a negative light. And they're very convincing. They'll have you doubting yourself, doubting any relationship you have outside of the one with the abuser. They'll have you doubting the world. And we already have enough going on in this world to have someone else have you have doubt in it. I mean, could you imagine? I don't even want to get into it, because that'll lead into politics, and that's totally something else. It just may seem to you that your partner's pessimist. Oh, he's a pessimist. He's, you know, he's always negative about stuff, but that's not the case. It's important to keep an eye out for this type of behavior and to try to read between the lines. And I know it's difficult, and it's probably scary, because you know, it's somebody that you love, you care about, so you wouldn't think that they could do something like this to you, and you don't want to hear it from your friends and your family. So the more that they put negative thoughts in your mind about your friends and family, the more you'll distance yourself from them. Now, some other signs of coercion or coercive control come from, believe it or not, how you feel about yourself when you're around this person. And again, this isn't to me blaming the victim. I would never do that. I'm here to help. That's the only reason I'm here. I'm not here because I started a podcast because I was bored because of quarantine. I'm an essential worker. I've worked the entire time. I'm here to help. But the abused person has to think about how they feel when they're around this person. Do you have to think or act differently than you normally do when you're with this person? Or if you're discussing a topic or a situation, do you have to portray yourself in a different light? Or do you lie to your family, your kids, your friends about your whereabouts because they see right through this person? They see right through. They see everything that they're doing, and you don't want to hear it, because even though you love this person, your gut's telling you something else. So this can be a sign that your partner has coercive control over you. And even so, even along with that, it can be just that you're embarrassed to do anything about it because you know everyone is right. But sometimes you want to just try to prove people wrong. But these things are dangerous. And like I said before, they can be deadly. And it's all about trusting your gut, which of course, again, it's easier said than done, especially when you care about someone deeply. But if you have an ongoing sense that something is wrong, you may want to consider why the relationship feels wrong, or why you feel wrong in it sometimes. Because there's no one on this planet, there's no one in existence that should ever make you feel any less than wonderful. Another sign of coercive control is anxiety. You'll feel this as a direct result of your partner's actions, and it may seem like there's tension in the air, or you may feel like you're having to walk on eggshells when you're around them. And in cases like this, and just like I said before, it's time to take some self-inventory and ask yourself, do you feel frustration or tension often when you're with this person? When you're around other people, how do you feel? If you're around other people, if they allow you, at this point, they have complete control. So I'll say it that way. If they allow you to be around other people, are you constantly wondering, are they going to be mad if I get home late, or should I call them? Are they going to be mad because I haven't talked to them in a little bit because I'm out? This is not healthy. And don't get me wrong, all relationships have good times and they have bad times. That goes without being said. But with this kind of relationship, there's a lot of unpredictability and explosiveness that exists with coercive control. You may just have a constant feeling of something's going to blow up at any moment. And you just have uncertainty of your relationship's future. And again, you may not feel like you can be yourself around this person. And you should be able to be yourself. It doesn't matter how they met you. And this is who you are. If you're the type of person that likes to drop the F-bomb a lot, or you're the type of person like me who's very opinionated, this is me. So the person that loves me would just have to love me for being extremely opinionated and just get over it, because I'm not going to change that. It's just something that's ingrained in me, I guess. But walking on eggshells, your gut feeling telling you something, having anxiety, this is just being involved in a hostile environment that is coercively controlled, and it takes an overall toll on your well-being. It's extremely easy to get caught up in a cycle of emotional abuse, and sometimes it's to the point where you can even accept your partner's behavior as normal. And you won't be able to spot the difference. But even though this is also true, you can still get out. There's another instance where if you feel tired after every interaction with this person, that's a sign of an unhealthy relationship. I read somewhere that some articles say that if you're in a relationship where there's coercive control, you should try talking to your partner, because according to some professionals, I know you heard the sarcasm in my voice, but according to some professionals, these abusers may not realize what they're doing. They don't know that they're doing these things to you. They don't know that they're actively trying and more than likely succeeding to control your life, control everything around it. They don't know. So try talking to them. If when you talk to your partner, you don't see any positive results, it's time to start finding ways to reconnect with friends and family and even a professional, so that you can get an exit strategy to help you out. Now, as far as them saying, these articles and these professionals saying that these people, these abusers don't know what they're doing, my strong opinion is it's a load of crap. I think that they know exactly what they're doing. Maybe if they are younger, maybe if it's in an early teen, late teen relationship type thing, they may not understand what they're doing. But as you get older, and I'm sure that it's not the first relationship they've done that to, as you get older, they know what they're doing. I'm not buying that. But again, I'm not the professional. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. That's just a very strong woman with a very strong opinion. But those are some of the points briefly on coercive control. And you can't have coercive control without gaslighting, in my opinion. I think they do go hand in hand. And it's if you get both of those together, I mean, I pray for anyone that's going through that right now. but I needed to do this episode to give a little bit more, because I need it to get out there so people can be aware of these sicknesses, I'm going to say, because the person who is doing it has to, in my opinion, has to have a psychological disorder. And I still do hope that you do some research yourself on these issues. But if you've recognized yourself in any of these examples, or in the examples in the previous episode, please reach out to a professional. Please, you can call 911. You can try to start reconnecting with your friends and family. If you're experiencing domestic abuse, call 911. Or if you're in the United States, you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE or 1-800-799-7233. If you're not in the United States and you're hearing me right now, you can reach out to domesticshelter.org. That's domesticshelter.org. For more information, no, neither one of these are my sponsors, but I just hope that they can help. And as always, if you need an opinion or advice on something that you're going through, you can reach me on Twitter at womansone, on Instagram at official_onewomansopinion, and my email, official1womansopinion, the number one, at gmail.com, and also on the Anchor app at anchor.fm. If you liked the podcast, please subscribe, like, share, follow, comment, show me some love. I'm here for you. Please bear with me. Again, I'm new to this. I'm still waiting for some of you, or all of you, to reach out to me if you need an opinion, if you need some advice on how you think I would handle a certain situation that you're in. I will gladly give you that. And I want everyone to remember that all requests for opinions or advice are anonymous. They will be kept confidential unless you request it otherwise. I'll keep your identity confidential. So I'm sure that once you hear what I'm talking about, you'll know that I'm talking about whatever issue you're having. So we'll work it out some type of way. We can email back and forth. We can communicate back and forth, see how you want me to address you specifically. But this is your podcast. This is our podcast, and I'm here to help. I want everyone to know that you're not alone. Thank you again for taking the time to listen to the One Woman's Opinion podcast. I appreciate you more than I could ever express. Be safe, be kind, and remember that you are not alone. Take care.